But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 and verse 5. When Philip met the Ethiopian eunuch and heard him read Isaiah 53 and was invited into the eunuch's chariot to guide him in the exposition of it, we read that Philip opened his mouth and preached unto him Jesus. Acts 8, 27 to 39. This was a demonstration of the fact that the gospel was promised afore by the prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Romans 1 and verse 2. And that the righteousness of God without the law is witnessed by the law and the prophets. Romans 3, 21. And no prophet is clearer in the expiatory sufferings of our Lord as the ground of our salvation than is the prophet Isaiah. Notice first the nature of his sufferings, of our Lord's suffering. The conjunction but refers us back to the previous verses in which it is said that it was thought by the Jews that he was stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. They thought him an impostor and that his death on the cross was a just punishment for wicked blasphemy. But there was always a remnant in Jewry who were enlightened to see that Jesus was the promised Messiah. Furthermore, someday when they go through the great tribulation, they will come forth with this as a national expression of repentance. We thought that, but we were wrong. They will come to the place where all of us must come, if we are to be saved, that we recognize that he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. There are three words used to describe his suffering. Wounded, which means his body was transfixed to the cross by nails. It would also include the piercing of his side with a spear by the Romans. Bruised, which means pummeled or battered, or what caused his face to be marred more than any man's, battered out of recognition. It would also include the cruelty of pulling out all the hair of his cheek, his beard, and the word chastisement, which means the enduring of all that sin deserves. It would include also the scourging, which often lifted the whole skin from the back and exposed the inner organ. He was poured out like water, and all his bones were out of joint. His heart was like wax. It was melted in the midst of his bowels. So says Psalm 22, verse 14. And we must add to these awful physical sufferings the mental anguish which even seemed to be so great as to bring the Lord himself into sore amazement. And added to all this, there was the deepest suffering of all, the abandonment and forsakenness of his father when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 27 verse 46. This was none other than God abandonment, the ultimate agony of the human soul. Now look at the cause of his suffering. These sufferings had no cause in himself. He thought no sin, did no sin, could not commit sin. He was God's righteous servant. They were sufferings indeed for sin, but for our sin. The sound of sin is brief, but what a dark abyss it is. Before the worlds were made, it began in heavenly places and dragged an untold number of angels down. It then entered Eden's garden and slew the innocence of the first man. From thence it was rolled on, it has rolled on, into an enormous mountain. It is man's ruin. It drove man from sweet and peaceful fellowship with God. It changed a loving child to a hardened rebel. It darkened man's mind. It made his heart a nest of unclean birds, a spring of impure waters, a whirlpool of tumultuous passions, a hotbed of ungodly lusts, a den of God-defying schemes. Yes, and it has not only caused all human misery and spawned death, but has built the prison house of hell, kindled quenchless fires there, forged eternal chains there. And all of this sin had to be born, and all its merits, and all its merited woe, poured out on the head of our holy Lord Jesus as a sin bearer. If he was wounded for iniquities, they were ours. If he was bruised for transgressions, they were ours. Our sins were the procuring cause of all his suffering. They were endured by him on behalf of those he came to save. He stood in our place and suffered what we should have suffered. He is our complete sin offering. He paid in anguish and in blood our every due. Wrath was endured by him. Penalties were paid by him. Sufferings were suffered by him. An infinity of woe was borne by him. Only a God-man could endure and absorb it. Thirdly, notice the design of his suffering. When he came into the world, it was as the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. John 1:29. To finish transgression and make an end of sin. Daniel 9:24, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Hebrews 9:26, thus the whole purpose of his sufferings was expiatory. Is not this the truth of truth? It is this truth which is the light, the feast, the joy, the strength, the rapture of every saved soul. Our sins slew the Son of God. They cannot now slay us. His death is ours. Therefore we live. God smiles upon us not because our sins were none, but because each had died in Christ. God gives us every pledge that he approves, attests, receives, delights in this accepted offering. Release from every woe. Admission to the home in heaven are ours because of our Savior. What then? For these expiatory sufferings of our Lord, through these expiatory sufferings, we are reconciled to God through the body of his flesh by death. We who were afar off are brought nigh. We who were rebels in his universe have had the hostility taken out of us. O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Isaiah 12, verses 1 and 2. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. 2 Corinthians 5:19. Ye were redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. 1 Peter 1:18-19. With his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53:5. So concludes our text. It means we are healed of all our soul's infirmities by his sufferings on the cross. Those wounds alone are our refuge. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. 2 Corinthians 5:21. He has settled all our accounts. He has finished all our transgressions. He has made an end of all our sins. He has made peace for us through the blood of the cross. Oh, wondrous cross. Wondrous Savior of the cross. Now listen to the words of Mr. Alabin. Thy sorrow, Savior, we retrace, and tears of praise thy gifts compel. What love and grace illume thy face as Jesus, as Emmanuel. Amid thy loneliness below, what scorn and outrage thee befell. Deep shame and woe, rude blow on blow, endured for us, Emmanuel. But oh, what grief, what agony, when wrathful judgment's awful spell burst over thee on Calvary's tree, God's Lamb for us, Emmanuel. And when thy glorious face we see, how shall the bursting pain swell? Our soul shall be outpoured for thee, Emmanuel. Amen. Amen.